The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, how's your fantasy football team doing? It's playoff time for some of us in our fantasy football leagues. And in two of my leagues, I made the playoffs. And number one seed in both of them. But unfortunately, in my NFL.com league that I'm the commissioner of, I unfortunately lost this week to my homie Simon in El Nino's squad. It was the third time that we faced each other this season, and I kicked his ass both times before, and he got me at the right time in the playoffs. So the championship round in my league is going to be between El Nino squad, which is Simon, and then White Mount Palookas. So and Palookas is actually the number two seed, and Simon, he's actually won this league twice. So if he wins, he's going to actually be the three-time champ. So we'll see what happens in my fantasy football league there. And I'm just doing the stupid third place bracket. Woo. I play, of course, still. I always play, even if my team's completely out of it, even if it's just the consolation bracket, I'm always setting my lineup. I care a little bit less, of course, but I set the bracket. But in my ESPN league, the money league, I kicked ass in week one. We do have, this is the championship round, and our championship round is 2 weeks. But right now I'm looking, sitting pretty with the 30 plus point lead right now. So looking good right now, but you never know. Your teams can just lay an egg 1 week. That's exactly what happened in my NFL.com league. It's just, it didn't matter who the hell I put on my starting squad. They were all going to lose to Simon's team because that's just the way fantasy football goes. It's just luck of the draw, basically. But on to real football that matters. Let's get back to the Monday night football game, which was it was kind of a snooze fest. It was the Indianapolis Colts versus the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers did get the win 20-3. Just kind of went about as expected. It really wasn't that, there really wasn't that much going on offensively for either team. The Chargers defense has really been stepping it up these last couple of weeks, though. So they're really getting going for the playoff run that they're about to make. And they did clinch a playoff spot. That's just about the only thing that mattered in this game. The Colts looked horrible, as they continue to do all season long. They just get worse and worse. And they ended up benching Matt Ryan for Nick Foles in this one. So we are going with quarterback number three in this one for the Colts. And he didn't do any better. He looked just as awful as Matt Ryan and Sam Ellinger looked at this season. So, yeah, it's not looking good for the Indianapolis Colts. But that is to be expected. But the Chargers did clinch a playoff spot with that win. And they are on to the postseason. Now let's move on to my top 10 NFL power rankings. And we do have some shakeups here because some teams lost, some teams won. And there's just a team right now that's just too hot to handle. And they have now overtaken the number one spot. And that would be the San Francisco 49ers. They are 11-4 on the season, and they are currently on an 8-game winning streak. And they are just winning in just so many different ways. I mean, the last two games, it's pretty much just been all about the defense and George Kittle offensively. And then, you know, Debo Samuel, he hasn't even, he's been out the last few weeks, so he hasn't been a factor yet. But we all know once he gets back, he's going to be a factor. Then you have Christian McCaffrey, who's always who's always out there, who could be a factor as well. But this week, they just keep getting it done, and I just kind of felt with the Eagles losing and the 49ers, they just look really good as an overall team. So to me, they took over the number one spot. As I mentioned, George Kittle, he's really turned it on, and for the season, he's got 713 receiving yards and 8 total touchdowns, so he's having a great year. And speaking of great years, Nick Bosa, he is just on fire. He's at 17 and a half sacks on the season. He currently leads the league with sacks. And just defensively overall, the 49ers look really solid. They have 15 forced fumbles on the season and 15 interceptions. So they're getting turnovers, they're getting sacks, and they're also scoring as well when they get these turnovers. So you really got to look out for the 49ers. And on an 8-game winning streak right now, I had to put them at number one. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 12-3. They are on a 6-game winning streak right now. And for me, they are becoming more and more of a complete team with each and every passing week. They kind of had a little bit of a lull, last month or for a little bit there. It was just very close and tight. I mean, they've been good all season long. But they've had their moments, and now it seems like their defense has really buckled down. But they also have found a ground attack. And speaking of their ground attack, Singletary, he's got 790 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns on the season. And then, of course, Josh Allen, he just continues his phenomenal season as well with 4,029 passing yards, 32 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions. So the Bills, to me, they're getting better with each and every week, and so I just had to bump them up as well in my top 10 this week. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Cincinnati Bengals, overall record of 11-4. They are on a 7-game winning streak. So that's just why I had to keep moving them up too, because even though they had a down game, they still won. But they do have some weaknesses, but still they're looking really good. And you know, Joe Burrow, he has 4,260 passing yards, 34 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions on the season. So he's just lighting defenses up. Jamar Chase has 960 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns on the season. But then you turn over to the defensive side of things, and they've been holding it down. They're not the best defense in the league, but they just know how to get the job done. And there's Von Bell, who's pretty much been like their dude. He's got 4 interceptions on the season. He made the big forced fumble against Ramondre Stevenson this past week against the Patriots. So their defense is doing their job. They're getting their job done, and the offense is just lighting everybody up. And the Bengals are currently on a 7-game winning streak. So we'll see what's going to happen, though, this week, because Monday Night Football is going to be the Bills at the Bengals. So somebody's got to lose, and both teams are damn good. So we'll see what happens there. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Philadelphia Eagles, overall record of 13-2. They just kind of took a tumble for me, not only because they lost this past week, but also now the injuries are starting to pile up for them. They're losing offensive linemen. Jalen Hurts, of course, is injured. So that kind of sets you back a bit. And this is not the time of year when you want to really start losing and losing guys to injuries as well. But on the bright side, they're still one of the best teams in the league. Sanders is having an excellent season on the ground. He's got 1,175 rushing yards. So he's already eclipsed the 1,000-yard rushing mark here with 11 touchdowns. Then you have Hassan Reddick on the defensive side, because the Eagles defense is probably the most underrated defense in the league. I mean, you hear about the Cowboys and the 49ers all season long, but this Eagles defense is, they're one of the best in the league. And so Hassan Reddick, he's got 5 forced fumbles on the season and 14 sacks. And then just as a defense overall, they have 61 sacks on the season, 15 forced fumbles, and 16 interceptions. So they're just getting takeaways. They're scoring points, and they're setting their offense up in good field position. So even though the injuries are piling up, they're still a solid team. And until they start losing, they can't fall further down the power rankings. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 12-3, and it's just the Patrick Mahomes show. Dude just continues to show that he is the MVP of the league. Right now, with 2 weeks remaining on the season, he has 4,720 passing yards. So the dude is more than likely going to eclipse the 5,000-yard mark here at some point within either this week or next week, because he's just been the driving force for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's got 37 touchdowns and only 11 interceptions on the season. So guy is balling uncontrollably. Then, you know, he's got his dude, Travis Kelce, who's also having an amazing season. He's got 1,257 receiving yards and 12 touchdowns on the season. So Kelce is also that dude. But then defensively, they also have 45 sacks on the season. So while they're not a defense that's that great, they are getting the job done, and 45 sacks ain't nothing to laugh at. So the Chiefs looking like they're rolling right into the postseason. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Dallas Cowboys, overall record of 11-4. And this is just a really balanced attack team. You've got Pollard with 988 rushing yards, 9 rushing touchdowns, 371 receiving yards, and 3 receiving touchdowns. So he's having a great year. But then you turn over to Zeke with 829 rushing yards and then 11 rushing touchdowns. So both of these guys are getting the job done. It doesn't matter who starts. It doesn't matter who's in the goal line. You know, one guy will have kind of a down game, and the other one will just pick it up, and he'll have the good game. So it's a great balanced attack with them. And then you've got CeeDee Lamb, who is just getting, I feel like he's getting better with every single game. He's got 1,207 receiving yards and 8 receiving touchdowns on the season. Then turning over to the defensive side of things, you know, their secondary has suffered some injuries. And so in turn, Darren Bland has had to step in, and he's a rookie. He wasn't really expected to do shit, and the guy already has 5 interceptions, and he's only played a handful of games. I mean, he is not a starter, but the guy has stepped right in and made some big-ass plays for this defense. And Cowboys defense is just getting the turnovers when they need to, setting the offense up in good field position. And the Cowboys offense has a balanced attack, and they did get a big win against the Eagles, so We'll see what happens come playoff time, because we all know that's where it's really going to count for all the teams, but most certainly my stupid-ass Cowboys. And then at number 7 on the top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Minnesota Vikings, overall record of 12-3, and they really just keep rolling offensively. Kirk Cousins, he's got 4,117 passing yards, 27 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions on the season, so it's actually been a very, very solid season for Kirk Cousins. Where he's known to usually choke, he's actually stepped it up this year. And, I mean, only 11 interceptions, that's not bad at all. I mean, hell, Burrow's got 12, Allen's got 13, so it's not like he's even leading the league in turnovers. But then it's all about Justin Jefferson, who I feel is hands down the offensive player of the year. He's got 1,756 receiving yards and 8 receiving touchdowns on the season. The guy is money. He's going to be interesting when the playoffs roll around. It's actually going to be hilarious to me. What I'm kind of hoping happens in the playoffs this year is I'd really love to see the NFC Championship game come down to the Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys, because one of those teams has to win. Both of those teams have kind of been known over the years to be a choke artist team. You know, Dax always had questions about him. What can he get the job done? And then same with Kirk Cousins. So I just think it would be funny if the NFC Championship game came down to those two teams, because somebody has got to win that matchup. And then also on the defensive side of things for the Vikings, while they've had their issues, Patrick Peterson, who's been in the league for what feels like 955 years, he has 4 interceptions on the season. He's hands down statistically this year one of the best shutdown corners on the entire year. And guy is old and still playing at a high level. So it's like we look at Tom Brady, and yeah, Tom Brady's still older than Patrick Peterson, but Peterson's been in the league for a long time. And for him to still be playing at a high level, to have 4 interceptions, to be making big plays against some of the top receivers in the league, that says a lot. And he's been a huge difference maker for this Minnesota Vikings team, that's for sure. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Los Angeles Chargers. Their overall record of 9-6, and they really have got it going this last couple of weeks. They've beat some legit teams, and offensively and defensively, they look really good. I mean, defense, they're actually, well, actually on both sides of the ball, they're marred by injuries. You know, the offensive line has suffered through a bunch of injuries, but the defense has really taken its toll. And so I kind of feel like that's what's held them back a lot this season. But they've really, really stepped it up these last couple of weeks, and they don't even have Bosa back yet. Justin Herbert, he's on a tear. He's got 4,252 passing yards, 21 touchdowns, and only 10 interceptions on the season. So he's having yet another great season. The defense has 13 forced fumbles and 13 interceptions, so they're getting turnovers. And we'll see what happens with the Chargers come playoff time as well. I mean, they're also kind of like the Vikings and Cowboys, where it's like you don't really know what to expect from them. But it would be nice to see Justin Herbert have some good games here in the postseason. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 10-5. And it's really just all about this defense right now. The offense has been just so bad. They can barely score anything. But defensively, they're looking really, really good. They have 44 sacks on the season, 13 forced fumbles, and 14 interceptions. So they are getting turnovers. They are getting stops. And what used to be a problem about a month and a half ago, where they were just giving up leads and their defense was just giving it up in the fourth quarter, now they're actually holding it down. And so they seem to be back to Baltimore Ravens football when it comes to the defense and the ground attack. But they really could use Lamar Jackson back. But also on the defensive side of things, Roquan Smith, dude has been electric since he came over to the Ravens. He really has turned this defense around. He has 145 tackles on the season and 4.5 sacks, so he is a huge difference maker. And we'll see what happens with the Ravens. They're kind of getting lost in the shuffle in the AFC just because the Bills, the Bengals, and the Chiefs really are the cream of the crop over there right now. But if they happen to get a healthy, or if they happen to get a decent Lamar Jackson back, defensively, they're going to be a force to fuck with, but I don't know about the Ravens. We'll see what happens. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week are the Green Bay Packers. It's been a minute since we've even really discussed the Packers this season, just because they've been pretty awful for the most part, but they are actually on a little 3-game winning streak right here. They are in the playoff hunt. They're currently 7-8, so it's not really that great of a season, but right now they're looking pretty decent. As a matter of fact, to me, this kind of propels the, because you never know with Aaron Rodgers. Is he going to retire? Because he's at that age. Is he going to retire? Or is he going to play another season? I kind of feel like with the way this season ends, whether they make the playoffs or not, it looks like, you know, he's clicking with both the rookie receivers, Watson and Dobbs. So you kind of look at that and you think, he's probably going to want to come back next year, because now that he's getting a rep with these two guys, and then with another offseason with them and then some training camp with them, the Packers might actually be a pretty solid team next year. But this year, they're still in the playoff hunt. They need a lot of help to get into the playoffs. But so far, the help has been on the way. And Aaron Rodgers, he actually, I mean, it's been a quiet season for him, but he is a 3-time MVP, so you expect a lot from him. But still, on the season, he's got 3,331 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, and only 11 interceptions. Usually, he's a lot lower on the interceptions, but still, 11. That's actually on the lower end for this season. And then you have Aaron Jones with 962 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. And then you have Alexander over on the defensive side of the ball. He has 5 interceptions on the season. He has been a huge difference maker for the defense. And we'll see what happens with the Packers. I would not be shocked to see them make the playoffs. And they might be a team who could possibly shake it up during wild card weekend, but I'm not convinced that they're a team that could actually compete for a Super Bowl. Then moving on to Thursday night football, it's actually going to be the last Thursday night football game of the season. It's my Dallas Cowboys at the Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Cowboys are a 9.5-point favorite. And, you know, the Titans are on just an awful losing streak right now. And it's about to get worse for them, because not only is a good Dallas Cowboys team coming in to play for them, but it was also announced today that Derrick Henry is now doubtful for this game. So their only source of offense and scoring is going to be out of this game. And it doesn't look like Tannehill's going to play. Defensively, they're not looking as stout as they usually look. And I kind of feel like this team is just in disarray, and they are just careening into the ground. And the Cowboys are in the opposite direction. As a matter of fact, I kind of expect this to be a blowout from the Cowboys. I kind of feel like they're going to dominate from start to finish. And since there's only a couple games left in the season and they've already clinched a playoff spot, well, this win does matter, because it's still – They still have a shot at winning the division. And part of that is they have to win their last two games. So, of course, they want to win this game. But generally speaking, Cowboys are already in. So it's not a life or death game. But I kind of feel like once the fourth quarter hits, if they're running away with this game, I expect to see Cooper Rush come into the game. And a few of the other backups I would expect to see in the game. But I've got the Cowboys winning this one 31-10. And so the playoff picture right now is looking like this in the AFC. Right now, the number one seed would be the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 12-3. They've already clinched the playoff spot, and they are currently the leader in the AFC East. Then the number two seed would be the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 12-3. They've already won their division, the AFC West. The Cincinnati Bengals would be the number three seed at 11-4. They currently hold the lead in the AFC North, and they have clinched a playoff spot. Then at the number four seed, the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 7-8. They currently hold the lead on the AFC South, which is currently the one of the last couple of playoff spots in the AFC. There's really only two playoff spots up for grabs in the AFC, and the South is one of them. So whoever wins the South is getting the number four spot there. And right now, the AFC wild card spots would go to the Baltimore Ravens at 10-5. They have clinched the playoff spot. The Los Angeles Chargers at 9-6, who have also clinched the playoff spot. And then the last wild card spot is still up for grabs right now. The Miami Dolphins hold it down at 8-7. And on the outside looking in are the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. Then turning to the NFC, the number one seed would be the Philadelphia Eagles at 13-2. They currently hold the lead on the NFC East, and they have clinched a playoff spot. Then the number two seed would be the Minnesota Vikings, the overall record of 12-3. They have clinched their division, the NFC North, and they have clinched a playoff spot as well. The number three seed would be the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 11-4. They have also won their division, the NFC West, and have clinched a playoff spot. And the last division up for grabs, one of the three playoff spots remaining in the NFC, is in the NFC South. Right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hold the number four overall seed at 7-8. They have not won the division yet, but this division is still up for grabs. Then holding down the wild card spots right now in the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys at 11-4, who have already clinched a playoff spot. And the last two wild card spots in the NFC are still up for grabs. Right now, the New York Giants hold one spot at 8-6-1. And the Washington Commanders hold down the last spot at 7-7-1. And on the outside looking in right now in the NFC would be the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers. So we have 2 weeks left. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. We're going to see, you know, we've got these last two horrible divisions, the AFC South and the NFC South. It's getting crazy there. And then you've got the last spot in the AFC wild card and the last two in the NFC wild card. So, shit could get shaken up here, but so far we pretty much know what's going to happen. Really just maybe a couple teams trade spots in seeding, but other than that, the playoffs are what they are right now. And then in some other NFL news, J.J. Watt, the stellar defensive end of the Arizona Cardinals, he is going to be calling it a quits. After this season, he is retiring. He's most notably known for playing for the Houston Texans for the majority of his career. He's played the last two seasons with the Arizona Cardinals, but in my opinion, J.J. Watt is one of the greatest defensive ends to ever play this game. I mean, in his heyday, which was from 2011 to 2015, the guy was like the best, not only just defender on the field, but best player on the field. I mean, he was a beast, and he made so many huge plays throughout his career. So for sure, in my opinion, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. Don't know. I would think he's a first ballot, but you never know with the way the Hall of Fame voters go. But he's definitely a Hall of Famer at some point. I would say first ballot. Like I said, you never know. But I mean, when you listen to the stats, I mean, from 2011 to 2015, these are his heyday years. He is a three-time Defensive Player of the Year, which is practically unheard of. I mean, to win it once is an honor, but to win it three times is insane. In that time span, he had 74 and a half sacks, 15 forced fumbles, 12 fumble recoveries, 132 tackles for a loss, 209 QB hits, one interception, which was an 80-yard touchdown return, and one safety. And, I mean, he just was always a huge force. I mean, the Texans were actually pretty decent for most of his career. They had their down years because, duh, they're the Texans. But when they were a playoff-bound team, it had to do with J.J. Watt. That guy was a beast. Hell, he even had just an amazing game the other night for the Cardinals. So I mean, it's also, you can also tell it probably is time for him to retire. The last, God, like what, he's had injuries the last like five seasons, and like debilitating injuries too. Not just like a sprain here and there. No, he's like torn his pecs. He's had like elbow injuries, shoulder injuries, and he's just had injuries where he's missed like the entire rest of the season. So I'm sure the dude is hurting, and it's just time for him to call it quits. He probably is looking at it like he doesn't really have any prospects to win a championship, because I'm sure that's really all that dude's playing for right now. And that's not going to happen with the Cardinals. That team is in such disarray. Who the hell knows what their future's looking like? But it's looking like J.J. Watt's going to go ahead and retire. And he's a fine-ass motherfucker, so I'm sure he's going to find some TV gig, because all of us are going to be, well, at least I will be happy to see him on TV on a regular basis, because J.J. Watt has always been fine as hell. So is his brother T.J. I mean, those guys are, boom, hot. Hot as hell. But especially J.J., you got to make me pick, and I'm going with JJ probably. But anyways, he's retiring, and great career to you, dude. And I imagine you're going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, sometime soon. And usually Wednesdays, I keep Wednesdays to football talk. But when we have a record-breaking night in the NBA, I have to talk about it. And we had a record-breaking night last night in the NBA. His name is Luka motherfucking Doncic. Dude gets motherfucking now. That's when you get the middle name motherfucking from me, that means you're a badass motherfucker. And Luka now gets the motherfucker middle name from me, because the guy went off last night against the New York Knicks. And not only did he go off, he is the reason why his team was able to come from behind, push it into overtime, and get the win. So this wasn't just going off and scoring up a bunch of points. Nah, this was going off and getting your team the win. So what happened last night? Luka Doncic's stat line. For the first time ever in the NBA, we have a triple-double, because that's what Luka did last night. He had a triple-double where he scored 60 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. Now, before last night, there was only three times in the history of the league where there were triple-doubles where they were at least 50 points, 20-plus rebounds, and 10 assists. And those two times were, of course, Wilt Chamberlain twice, and then one time Elgin Baylor. And this was back in the 60s and 70s, okay? So this is the first time we've ever seen this happen, with a triple-double going over 60. And then he had over 20 in rebounds and 10 assists. And so when you are on a list with Wilt motherfucking Chamberlain, yeah, dude, that's a big fucking deal. And that's the first time that has ever happened in the NBA. So shout out to Luka for that. But what's even more crazy is, so the Mavericks were down by 9 points with 26.8 seconds left to go on the clock. Now, this is one of my favorite things about basketball, because this can happen. Tracy McGrady was the king of doing this years ago. T-Mac was the shit. And y'all know what I'm talking about. If you remember T-Mac, this dude did it many times. And there was this game against the San Antonio Spurs in particular, where I can't remember the exact amount of seconds on the clock, but there was something only like 15, maybe it might even have been 11 seconds left on the clock. But the Rockets were down by something crazy, like 9 points. And there was only like 11 seconds on the clock. And T-Mac was able to bring them back with 11 seconds and get them the win over the Spurs. And he did that a couple of times, but it was most the legendary one is against the Spurs there. So it's happened in the league. So when there's only a few seconds, you know, you look at the clock and you go 26.8 seconds, you're down by nine. The Knicks are probably sitting there like, oh yeah, we got this game won. Because, I mean, usually you do. But not when you got a beast like Luka Doncic. And what happened was, he just drove his team to win. And so he gets to the line. And because the Knicks ended up fouling him because the Mavericks are down by three. And there's only seconds left to go. So they obviously don't want him to take the three, so they foul him. And they foul him, so he gets two free throws. He makes the first free throw, so they're now down by two. And so he does what every player does, and it fails 99.9% of the time, where you just toss up the free throw, but you purposely miss it. And somehow it just magically bounces right back to Luka, and he gets the shot up in time, scores the game-tying basket, takes the Mavericks into overtime, and the Mavericks would ultimately get the win 126-121 in overtime. But it was just an insane performance from Luka Doncic, and that dude, you know, I've been a fan of his basically since year one. I could tell this guy, just by the way he played, he was something special. I mean, you never know when somebody's drafted. And the European players, you always hear about them, but we don't really get to see much of them. We just get to see kind of the highlights of them and just you get to hear about them. And sometimes they're not good and they just turn out to be a bust, or sometimes they turn out like Luka. And Luka has turned out to be so far everything as expected and then some. I mean, the dude's been playing basketball literally since he was 14 years old. Professionally, because in Europe you can play professionally when you're a young kid like that. So he's already been doing this for a while now. He definitely needs to improve on his defensive skills. But other than that, the guy is just getting better. And as I continue to say about the Mavericks, I really hope they do not waste the talent that is Luka, because this guy, I want to see this guy win some championships. And I'm not even a Mavericks fan. As a matter of fact, I fucking hate the Mavericks. But I want to see Luka win some shit, because that dude is a fun, fantastic player to watch. And what we saw last night was insane. And that wasn't just like a lucky performance. That was a great performance and a great win for the Mavericks. So congrats to Luka, and thank you for putting on a show. And like I said, when you're on a list with Wilt Chamberlain and hell, Elgin Baylor, you're doing something right, homie. So keep it up. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.